This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Back of the Nest. Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford, and Eskiff and I are joined by Patrick O'Connor for the first time in 17 months, as Albert is, you guessed it, on holiday once again. This week is Bournemouth away, as Palace and Scott Dan both look to create a little bit of history.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yes. So Albert's away and we've got Patrick with us this week. Patrick, it's the first time you've joined us since October 2018.
No, really?
Yeah, the last time was what ended up being a preview for the 2-2 draw against Arsenal when Lucas scored a late penalty to level it up.
So I'm somewhat lucky then. Yeah. Good.
Do you remember what your prediction was?
Yeah, 2-2.
it was when Arsenal won the back of 10 wins in a row in all competitions, and you predicted 4-1 to Arsenal. Which I think was also what Hesketh predicted as well.
I was going to say, if you think 7 negative, then forget it. I mean, so
trust me. Yeah. What was I found interesting about listening back to that was Danny Gabaldon was quoted in that week of saying Palace are just a striker away from finishing the top 7. not much has changed in a year and a half.
Wow, that is amazing.
If only we had Jordan Ayew then, eh?
Yeah, we're talking of Jordan, and also that week, Jordan Mutch had scored in the MLS, and we were talking about that.
Bloody hell.
Patrick went on the big rant about how crap the MLS is.
It had to be if he scored, come on.
Who was it? He was at Toronto, wasn't he, or something?
Oh, Vancouver Whitecaps.
Vancouver, those Canadian teams, I would have said. I've got a note here in the show doc, Hesketh, that just says, talk to Eskiff about Kapuwe.
Well, I mean, we had to use the swear word bleeper quite a lot last week.
Apologies to anyone that got offended by the amount of swear words. We apparently it was logged as the most we've ever put out on any show Back of the Nest has done. So apologies.
Funnily enough, I was out after work on Friday. We just went out for a drink at the Union, which I seem to do every week now. But I was talking to someone, and someone at the other end of the table who wasn't involved in the conversation leaned over to my wife, who, as people know, also works with me. And I heard her say, Sam swears a lot. Does he swear a lot at home? As if I'm like a cherub at home. And then I just let it all out after work and just swear progressively worse, like over the course of an evening. I was doing a lot of swearing at Kapu during the game. For obvious reasons, and I mentioned it to the review show guys just before they were going to record. But normally, obviously, after the game, if we win, we go for a drink and everyone's really happy, like we were at Newcastle, like we were at Brighton. But I came in hot. I came in hot to Glazier's. I really hate him. I really hate him a lot. And he's slowly, well, it's not even slowly, is it? He's climbed up my league table of most hated players. And one thing I noticed about him after the game was, as soon as the final whistle went, he just went straight down the tunnel. Didn't shake anyone's hand, didn't stick around with his team, didn't clap their fans, just went straight down the tunnel, which sort of epitomised him. He's just like a, you know, sneaky little bugger. I'm going to say bugger because I don't think that's a swear word. But he's not hard, you know what I mean? Like, he likes winding people up, but then as soon as he thinks he has to face-to-face them, a bit like David Luiz, he's off. It really wound me up, and like that overtook me until about 10 minutes after I got into Glazers when I calmed down a bit.
Yeah, that antics didn't get to me so much that weekend because I thought James McCarthy did a fantastic job of just out of shithousing them by himself. Every time Deeney got around the ref, McCarthy was over there. And it's stuff we've said for years now playing against Deeney's Watford is someone else get around there, get in the ear of the ref while he's there. And McCarthy was really effective at pulling Deeney away from the ref on several occasions and also kicking lumps out of people along with their midfielders. So, I was a little bit more relaxed about it this time around. Right, before we go any further, let's get into this.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken? Fuck that shit! Pabst Blue Ribbon!
Yes, so Patrick, notoriously not a drinker, or a heavy one at least, but you do have a beer this week of sorts.
Yeah, going back to my English Jamaican roots, I have with me a Carib Shandy lime flavoured lager beer. So I'll try that.
Nice. That's definitely going to get some abuse from Australia. I can guarantee it. BBS coming in hot from the exiled Eagles. I've been drinking a lot of the Jamaican ginger beer recently.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
Three for a pound from most supermarkets. Lovely, lovely. And Moretti Hesketh?
No, I've, in lieu of Albert being here, I've got a Budweiser on his behalf.
Okay, in shockingly outrageous scenes, I've got Corona. So what? Make it that way.
What?
What? The drink.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah, lovely juicy bit of lime in there as well. But yeah, let's talk about coronavirus while we're at it. Obviously, a lot of games now, a lot of countries shutting things down. Just before we got on air, we've heard that Denmark are basically closing down the country a la Italy for Monday. Italy's obviously cancelled all sporting events until April. You've seen Paris Saint-Germain on the night of recording against Borussia Dortmund is being played behind closed doors. Patrick, I don't know what the state of it is over there. Obviously, we've seen that what your illustrious president has been tweeting all week with all of a sudden a medical professional of some variety. But it's hard to see how the Premier League doesn't follow suit soon, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously with the Arsenal-Man City game getting cancelled, it's going to happen. It's a shame, but I mean, on a personal level, my wife's been ordered to work from home for 2 weeks. I'm a teacher, and a few schools around where I live have shut down, and I think it's going to hit the New York City school system very soon. We've got 1.1 million children, so it's going to happen. So sporting wise over here in America, they're talking about playing basketball games in states where virus hasn't even hit yet, which is very bizarre. You're basically going to spread the virus to other states, which is so stupid. So but it's going to definitely impact sports, not only where I am here, but obviously in England.
Yeah, well, a lot of them are saying anything over 2,000 spectators. So, Hesketh, Bournemouth this weekend might be safe. It's approaching that for stadium status. Obviously, Arsenal Man City has been postponed due to Olympiacos' owner being diagnosed with coronavirus and a lot of the Arsenal players meeting him. And that was 2 weeks ago now. So, obviously, that tends to be the incubation period of it. So, as a safety net, I've called that one off to just make sure the Arsenal players are tested and quarantined and all of that stuff. But I'm already putting feelers out in case Burnley at home is behind closed doors. Hesketh, do you reckon we can get some some press passes or something for this one?
Yeah, surely. I mean, we're the most well-renowned, well-respected members of the press world, aren't we? So surely we'll get gold-plated press passes for that one.
Yeah, we'll get Patrick over to commentate as well.
Well, actually, speaking of that match, NBC Sports is having a huge fan fest in Philadelphia. It's actually something they do every 3 or 4 months, and they get fans from all over the country to go to where it's going to be. And last one went at it in New York. Alan Shearer showed up and a bunch of other former players. And it's actually going to be April 4th, the Burnley match. And I've already planned to drive down there. My son's actually in law school down there, so I'm hoping that they do not. Or at least if they play the game, I don't care if it's behind closed doors or not. As long as they broadcast the match, we're good to go. But I'm thinking they might cancel it. It's going to be a lot of people going down there for that. So fingers crossed they'll have that.
Lovely city of Philadelphia. Love it there. You lived there for a short time. Lovely stuff. Don't eat cheesesteaks while you're down there. That's their heart attacks on a stick, mate. I'm telling you. Right. Well, from a country that eats bats to all of our detriments, Palace might be signing a bat. Hesketh, summer news, apparently we're going to be offering Mischi Batshuayi his long-awaited leave from Chelsea because he wants to stay in London and liked his time at Palace.
Well, that's good news. I think it's going to be interesting to see if that sort of story has legs, because I saw a similar story that said we're monitoring Cenk Tosun's injury so that if he recovers, we might go in for him. I think Mischi isn't necessarily a Roy player, but he seemed to do quite well with us when he was here for the sort of 4 or 5 months he was, and actually linked up pretty well with Ayew and Benteke and Wilf if he stays. So I think it's one of those sort of things where you say, well, he scores goals but doesn't offer much to the team other than that. But at the same time, if you've got an in-form Benteke, an in-form Ayew and Wilf playing around him, then do we necessarily need him to do as much as a Tosun, who has sort of less instinctual finishes? But I can't imagine either of them are going to be cheap, nor are they going to have low wages. So, yeah, like I say, it'll be interesting to see whether we are actually going to back the manager after his contract extension this time around.
Yeah, I don't. When Batshuayi was there the first time round, obviously a lot of people say that he kind of supplemented his goal tally in what was effectively a pre-season friendly at the end of the season against Bournemouth, when everything went absolutely batshit crazy. Sorry, excuse the coronavirus puns, but yeah, he's scored several goals for us, and he's obviously a much different striker to that of Christian Benteke, and it becomes trying to coax out our forward line and get him in behind with his pace, and he's a natural finisher. I think if we signed him permanently, there'd be an altering in our system to try and fit him in a lot more than we did when we only had him on loan. So if we're putting an investment in for 3 years, it'd probably be more build it around him in that sense. So I think there'd be a change. It depends on the money, really. 30 million is probably what I guess it will end up costing, and that all comes down to whether we can clear some wage bill, whether Wilf leaves. I think there's a lot balancing around it if it was potentially happened. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see to January. Obviously, I just wanted an excuse to use a joke about bats, but we'll leave it there. On to nicer news. Joel Ward's had a baby today, so congratulations to Joel and Jessica Ward. Patrick, any chance of the baby being called Jordan, you reckon?
Jordana.
No, he's had a boy. He's had a boy. Joel and Jessica have had a boy, yeah.
Now, Jordan would be a nice name. I've got a funny feeling Joel will not go in that route, but congratulations to him and his wife. That's great news. I hadn't seen that, by the way, so good for him. Congratulations.
Yeah, of course, that's hot on the heels of Jordan Ayew, as they talked about on the review show, tweeting me about calling the baby Jordan. We have a girl arriving in early April. We refer to the bumpers Jordan already, but the wife is very adamant. She's sat behind me on the sofa and I can't see her, but I can hear her giggling and probably burning holes in the back of my head.
you can feel the look in the back of your head.
I can feel the look for sure, but she's adamant. And as someone clearly pointed out, people who know me know that my surname's no longer Ford. I just go by that continually on here just for continuity purposes. But someone said your baby would be called George Ford, which probably isn't too much of a nice name going on there. But there you go. But yeah, so congratulations to Joel Ward and Jessica Ward there on having your baby boy. hopefully in the next 20 years, he'll be Palace's right back or something along those lines. I want to talk about the programme for the Watford game. Patrick, you obviously get to record the emailed version of this, being an international member. Right. I was talking about it a lot before. It was lots of shithousing going on in that programme post the Brighton win, starting with the Lewis Dunk poster.
Let me tell you something. Absolutely. I got to give credit to whoever does that kind of stuff at Palace. They are around the Brighton stuff, they were absolutely brilliant. And that poster, I asked someone to send me the hard copy version because I've got to have that just for posterity. That's a brilliant job by whoever did that.
Yeah, hot on the heels of all the dunk knees in your basket on the promotional emails and things like that. Heskiv, did you buy the program this week?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, because you always buy them, don't you? Yeah, but yeah. I stopped just for space purposes, and now I have a nice big house, so I can start buying them again, although I feel like I might be getting stairs in the back of the head again. But yeah, it was great, wasn't it, as well, the referring to Brighton as the Dolphins throughout instead of Brighton.
Yeah, quality. I mean, I'll take any kind of shithousery, whether it's on the pitch, in print, on Twitter. I'll take any that I can. So yeah, loving it all.
And it didn't stop in the programme. It transferred towards Watford at halftime as Chris Grierson in the halftime challenge, where two kids from each team, supporters of each team, take a penalty each against Pete or Alice the Eagle. And he said to one of the kids, "Imagine you've won a perfectly legitimate penalty that the opposition fan base will cry about for 7 years," which went down very well with the Watford fans indeed. Of course, referring to the Wilfried Zaha Stonewall penalty in the playoff final back in 2013 when Matt Arazzi cleared him out. Last bit is a bit of admin, just to say Palace for Life Foundation. Their Easter schools start in April. Their Easter soccer schools, I mean, coronavirus permitting, I'd imagine. you can book at reduced rates with 10% off, I believe. Now, but by the time you're listening to this podcast, you've gotten to the end of the 12th of March, and you can get 10% off. And this is a chance for your kids to go and take place in a really, really, you know, good program. These are the sort of things that got Wilfried Zaha noticed and things like that. So get your kids down there and do some exercise and all of that in hopefully the spring sunshine that will be gracing the skies of South London. We'll be back after this.
Reviews, predictions, comments and rants. Send us your voice clips on WhatsApp 0203 575 1266.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, at the top of the show, I talked about Crystal Palace creating some records. 1920, 1969 and 1994. What do you reckon those 3 years have in common?
I reckon it's got to be something along the lines of wins in a row.
1-0 yes, wins in a row.
1-0 wins in a row, there you go. Those are the three occasions that we've won 1-0 three games in a row. We've never done it four times in a row. So we'll be looking to break a record there. And in terms of becoming the late 80s, early 90s Arsenal of the current day. the good news is in 1920, we won 4-0 in the following game. In 1969, we won 4-2 in the following game. That's your era, Patrick, isn't it? You were probably at that, whoever it was against.
Don't be funny. You know what? I was born.
I wasn't being funny. Was it 79? You were. Oh, it was 79. I'm
79.
Thinking.
You're right. We're not. Yeah, but my dad might take me. I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, I don't know if you've listened to the review show yet, mate. But they said that you were a coronavirus risk because of your age.
Of course, I listened to it.
You need to be getting. You need to be getting onto Mike about that.
Yeah, I'll get him. I'll get him.
And yet in 1994 we won 3-2 as well, which was towards the end of the season where we were just scraping 1-0 wins a lot, and then I think we went and won 3-2 at Middlesbrough, which is kind of your era, Hesketh. You were great by then.
I think did Dean Gordon score that day?
He might have done. Was I don't know if that was
in the Premier League.
I don't know. Was this the meatball header? Because 93-94 would have been the promotion season, wouldn't
it? Yeah, so I reckon he scored a hat-trick in that game.
No, he scored the hat-trick against West Brom. This was the meatball header. This is definitely the Chris Coleman meatball header. For anyone who had the VHS video from that season, the ball comes to the back stick and he's like pretty much on the edge corner of the penalty area and loops a header back over the goalie, and the commentator is, "What a meatball header." But I could be misremembering that as well. I'm sure someone would tell us I'm wrong. But yeah, Dean Gordon was, his hat trick was away at West Brom, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right. Sure. This Budweiser came to my head.
Right. So let's get into this Bournemouth game then, which, you know, at the moment with Watford, Bournemouth, Brighton all down there and looking at as many as two of those three could go down. I think that would cap a wonderful season for Crystal Palace, especially if we make the top half of the table. But in recent weeks, put Newcastle aside. I'll start with you, Patrick. Obviously, Newcastle were dreadful, but you know, Watford and Brighton fancy themselves as footballing sides and want to come out and play against us, and it shows what we can do against them. Is Bournemouth are likely to be the same, aren't they?
Yeah, I watched their game against Liverpool over the weekend, and they took it to Liverpool in the beginning, you know, obviously being up 1-0. But yeah, definitely more of a footballing side than Newcastle were, and I think it's going to be more of a challenge. I mean, that's not much of a statement saying that, but definitely, I definitely think that you know, if we play in the last two matches, up our levels a little bit, hopefully we'll really change things around, but that we'll, you know, we can get a result from that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Roy said it after the game as well, we were certainly not at our best against Watford, but defensively we were very, very good, and of course backed up with some excellent saves when needed from Vicente, particularly that one from Deeney. So it's very, very solid at the back. Now, on the Bournemouth fans Love Sports show this week, they were saying they've been a bit better in front of goal in recent weeks. But the side that turned up, Hesketh, on the Tuesday night or Wednesday night, whenever it was on Amazon, couldn't break down 10 men. So with Dan and Cahill in the form they're in, it could be another struggle for them.
Yeah, I think that was probably the worst performance from an opposition team that I can remember. Newcastle were bad, as you said, but I think that Bournemouth game, we had 10 men for pretty much the whole game, wasn't it?
I think it was at least 70 minutes or something like that.
And even cynical, pessimistic me, like during the game, I just thought they're not offering anything at all. Like they just look completely useless. I'm sure they've had better performances since that. I'd be very surprised if they haven't. And, you know, they've scored two goals against Chelsea and they looked all right against Liverpool from what I saw, which was only the first half, to be fair. But I thought, you know, they're obviously not having a great season, and I think we've mentioned it before, but the media build them up a lot into something that I don't think they are. And what I think is really sort of coming back to haunt them a bit this year is their really bad dealings in the transfer window. You know, you can have all this, they play nice passing football, blah blah, but they're buying players for over the odds, in my opinion. They don't really get the best out of them at all. And it's sort of coming home to roost a little bit now. So I'm hoping that happens on Saturday. And like you say, the performances of Cahill and Dan at centre-back over the last three games have been absolutely brilliant. A lot better than I thought they would be, to be honest. I was a bit worried about Dan when he came in, but he's looked very good. And as we know, he loves playing Bournemouth, doesn't he?
Yeah, I hadn't noticed. I'm looking at the stats now that they've only scored three more goals than we have. They ship goals. They've given up 47 goals this year, which is absolutely terrible. So I hadn't realized just that's what's killing them. It's not really the lack of goal scoring. Their defending has been awful. It really has been. So hopefully
The thing for them as well is Steve Cook's probably been their best defender this season. And he looks like he's going to be out of the game. And Simon Francis is going to come in and, you know, he's just breaking down as a footballer now. He's 35 years old. Comes at different ages to people around that level, but sometimes you can just drop off a cliff, and that's basically what's happened to him. So that might be something that an informed Benteke could exploit for sure. But while we're on Scott Dan, of course, he's also looking for a bit of history or extending a history, because he's already the only defender to score in four consecutive games against the same opposition. But he's looking for a fifth in a row. And Patrick, in the recent weeks, it's been really refreshing having him and Cahill on set pieces, and Patrick Van Aanholt and McCarthy delivering them instead of Luka Milivojevic. We touched on it a couple of weeks ago, I think, but it's nice to have that threat back, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I have to say, I mean, I'm a huge Luka fan, but as far as set pieces have gone, having both McCarthy and Van Aanholt replace him has really been a huge improvement for us. And you just spotted about Scott Dan. I mean, though he hasn't scored, he and Caleb have been huge threats more than a few occasions in the last few matches. And you know it's coming. I know you talk about that record. I know he'll get that goal on Saturday, but you can tell he and Cahill do a goal for sure. So hopefully it'll happen this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you think to the Newcastle game, Dubravka made an incredible save from a Cahill header. I think Cahill put one over against Brighton as well. That might have been from a free kick though. Yeah. But yeah, go on, Heskip, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I just think, just to sort of echo that, it's really important for us to have the threat on set pieces again, because obviously we're not a team that scores huge amounts of goals. So, you know, I feel we're a bit hamstrung when Luka was taking set pieces, because we never really ever looked like scoring. There were no amazing saves or close headers really. So I think now adding a threat at set pieces, and it feels like a goal is coming. It really does. You know, I feel that that's going to supplement the sort of goals for column really well, hopefully, in the remaining sort of 8 or 9 games.
And I just want to say that I have to give credit to our defending this year. You think about the combinations we've had in front of Guaita, who I'm a huge fan of his, but think about of late how great Dan and Cahill have played together. But prior to that, Tompkins did a great job with Cahill. And then prior to that, Kelly had done a good job with Cahill. And then Mama Sako, I think, is probably our best centre half. People will always argue about that. He did a great job with Tompkins for so long. So you've got to give credit, man. Dan has just stepped in and really been the old, I mean, not necessarily the old Scott Dan a few years ago, but he's really stepped up his levels the last 2 years in particular. And that's been a huge benefit to us. That's why we've got those last 3 clean sheets.
Yeah, it's funny. We could go back to a lot of people's tweets after the Gary Cahill signing, I'm sure, probably some of us as well. And
indeed.
Look very, very silly at this point, because I think, you know, Jordan Ayew and Vicente Guaita are miles ahead in terms of player of the season. But, you know, I think he's probably a clear third place in that sense, because, you know, he's just been a rock whenever he's played. And it's just crazy, really. I think I've said it before on this podcast, Arsenal signed David Luiz for $8 million when they could have just taken Gary Cahill on a free transfer. It seems insane, really. I'm probably Gary Cahill wanted a different challenge and probably didn't want to go near or touch Arsenal with a barge pole, to be honest. But I mean, if he can continue to perform at this level for another couple of years, it's been an extremely shrewd signing. And, you know, just having him around the club must be great for everyone, because, you know, he's been there and he's done it all, really. So, with the exception of winning international tournaments, he's captained his country on occasions. And, really, really just unbelievable. And the way he's got on board with the Palace way, whatever that is, you know, he's always the first of the fans and, you know, giving it all large. Like, yeah, big, big signing from Roy Hodgson. And, I'm sure it was Hodgson who brought him in. We won't give Friedman credit on that one. But yeah, brilliant, brilliant signing, and one we didn't initially think was worthwhile. But there you go. One thing that worries me, Hesketh, this weekend is Harry Wilson. The stereotypical wand of a left foot. It's always a wand, isn't it? He was in the stands at the Liverpool game wearing a Liverpool jacket against Bournemouth on the weekend. Now, obviously, he's on loan from Liverpool to Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. And then we have our own history of that as well with Benteke and Sacco. when Sacco is on loan. But, you know, he's had to, Harry Wilson felt like he needs to come out and release a statement around it. Do you think that's going to give him the sort of point to prove on the weekend and give something back to the Bournemouth fans?
So the Bournemouth fans are pissed off that he was wearing a Liverpool tracksuit.
Yeah, very much so.
That's absolutely ridiculous. Well, hopefully they get on his back and he has an awful game, if that's the case. Obviously, we're biased, but when Sacco and Benteke did the handshake thing, I thought that was hilarious. So, I don't know why they're up in arms. If I was a Bournemouth fan, I'd probably be more concerned with the fact that they might go down than a player wearing the tracksuit of the club that he's contractually not owned by, but you know what I mean? Like, he's a very good player. So insofar as like, am I worried about him a little bit? Because I think he looks quite good. But like I say, if the Bournemouth fans are going to get the arsehole with that, then hopefully they get on his back and it plays into our hands.
Yeah. See, I thought you'd more be of the, is he going to ping one top bin from 30 yards? But
he probably is, yeah.
Well, we'd have to do something that no one's done for a while and score a goal against us. Last bit on Bournemouth, Philip Billing's a bit of a doubt, apparently. Hobbled off against Liverpool, so it'll be interesting to see if he plays, because on the Love Sports show, they were talking about how he's been integral to the way they've performed in the last few weeks, which is, they're kind of referring to as a resurgence in performances, if not necessarily results. So, very big miss for them again if he can't turn out. And I'm not going to touch on Luka coming back in or not. I don't think he's going to. I think the review show covered that off quite well. I think at the moment, you know, it would be crazy to change the team in any way. Looking at that, Pock sitting on the bench, you've got all the centre backs coming back. You've got other midfielders. Now we've finally got our full complement of a squad. We're showing the strengths in depth that we do have, with the exception of strikers.
Yeah, and to have players like Luka, Mama, Tonks, players like that, Schlupp's back, isn't he? To have players like that on the bench, you know, shows that you can bring a certain type of player on if we're winning or if we're chasing the game. We've now got options to bring those sort of players on. If you need a bit of pace to get at someone, we can bring on Schlupp. If we need to shore it up, we've got Luka. Whereas before, it was sort of like, you know, we've got one player who Roy sort of trusts to be in the team, so we'll just bring them on if we bring in anyone at all. So hopefully we'll be winning, and it would just be a nice, like, let's bring Andros on to have a run around. It's finally good to have an actual squad available to us rather than, you know, sort of 11 patched up players.
Yeah, certainly with looking at the bench on the weekend, it felt a lot more healthy, that's for sure. But obviously zero strikers, there's nothing allowing us to call back Suárez, obviously. Well documented, although I don't think he scored for two games now. I think he hobbled off injured. I think, yeah, 40.
Yay.
Yeah, imagine when in 5 years' time he's got 200 goals for Real Madrid. We'll all be shaking our heads. God. What went wrong?
God, no, please no.
And we can't call back Connor Wickham, but again, I don't think we'd want to. Sheffield Wednesday fans have, well, I don't think he's had a shot on target since he's been there or something. But yeah, so I doubt he'll be coming back. Well, he can't come back. So fingers crossed that between IU and Benteke, they can get through the final nine games of the season and see us have a bit of an ending. Now, Patrick, we've ended seasons well traditionally in recent years and beat a lot of teams that are on the beach. But we've always been on, you know, probably four, five, six less points than we're on now. now we're safe. Like 39 points is obviously going to keep you up this season, and there's no way we're not going to pick up at least one more point. But do you think there's any worry of us being on the beach this season, us being a team like that, because we've got not much to play for? Or do you think, you know, this character that James McCarthy has talked about in the changing room in recent weeks won't allow that to happen?
Yeah, that's a great point, because again, this is very uncharted waters for Palace. And, you know, I know people have made jokes about the whole European tour stuff, but I like to think that players like Cahill and you just mentioned Tompkins will not let us just kind of cruise through the last few matches again, just because we're on a point number of 39 plus the goal difference really is at 40, that we're not going to go down. There's no chance. I would really love us to put a serious ending to the season like we've done in the past and push on to that, whatever it is, seventh spot, whatever, eighth, whatever it's going to be for Europa League this year. But I just feel that it's just not going to happen. I just don't know why I have to be so negative. I just know that, you know, whenever something good's going to happen to Palace, something bad is right around the corner. So as much as I would like it to happen, I just feel like we're going to end up going through a time. Look, we've got Bournemouth, Liverpool, Burnley, Leicester, Chelsea. I mean,
what's great about it, though, is if we're going to push for those places, those are the teams we need to beat, right? So it's kind of a different mentality, as you say, uncharted waters. In you look at our last three games of the season, they're all teams that are around that 7th, 6th, 7th, 8th. So we need to win those games. And of course, that's a tough ask. You know, Wolves is our last away game of the season. Spurs is the last home game of the season. Obviously, those are very difficult games. But, you know, we're playing the right teams, where if we can string some form together at the right time, it could happen.
This is what I'll say, okay? I am not a big Roy fan, but if he pulls this off, based on, again, you have to remember going back to when he was at Fulham, how great he did the Europa League. If he pulls this off, I will be giving the hugest U-turn in history of a Palace supporter. I'll leave it at that.
Patrick, I always say this when you're on. I don't know when you turned into Eskiff. Was it listening to when he appeared on this podcast? He used to be the most positive person in the world, and now it's like the years have finally tumbled out on top of
you. No, I'll tell you two words. Ready? Alan Pardew.
Yes.
That was it.
It was that dance just finished you off.
I was there. I flew over for the match. The man danced when we were up 1-0. I'm looking up and saying, we're going to win the cup. And I look down, I'm like, oh, it's 1-1 already. And then it was over. So, yeah, he killed it. I was optimistic prior to him, and he just, I'm sorry. He killed it for me. I apologize now.
So if the final game of the season against the Spurs is effectively a playoff for a Europa League space, would you fly over for that one?
Nah, I'll be a jinx.
he's not allowed over anymore.
No, I'm not allowed. Yeah.
But I mean, it could end up being in a weird and wonderful world that is we live in at the moment with the corona situation. I mean, Hesketh, they're talking in Italy about potentially shortening the league and having playoffs for European places and relegation places and stuff like that. That would be interesting if that happened here.
Oh, that would be interesting. Yeah. I think Brighton should just get automatically relegated. don't need a player for that. Or just have them play Watford in a playoff, but then they both go down regardless of the result. Good. I think Liverpool don't get to win the league.
Could you imagine they do that and it becomes like a Man City-Liverpool final and Liverpool are 30 points clear or whatever and City beat them in a one-off? In a one-off final.
That would be so great. Oh, how great would they be Liverpool fans? They'd all commit suicide. It'd be great.
It would be. Yeah, you know, karma's a bitch. We're all still smarting from not making Europe in the 90s.
That's
so,
right. That's right.
But yeah, it would be quite a turn of events. But, you know, anything seems possible at the moment. You know, when as I've said before, when they're talking about your Olympic Games being cancelled, these are like big, you know, worldwide, you know, the whole world watches kind of events. And yeah, anything's possible at the moment, I suppose. Right, all that's left is predictions. So yeah, going back 15, 16 months, whatever it was last time you was on, Patrick, you went 4-1 Arsenal. So I'm assuming it'll be a little bit different this time.
Yeah, I'm slightly more optimistic. By the way, I just want to add, beating Brighton and Watford back-to-back has been like put me in the best mood I could ever be in. Last year, we lost to those teams five times in one season. I was very close to suicide. So I will say I'm very optimistic. So the usual me would have probably gone 2-0 Bournemouth. But looking at the previous scores, we've got a lot of draws against Bournemouth. I'm going to go 2-2.
Oh, two leaking the goals.
Yeah.
I've got to stick with a 0-0 because that's what I've done the last couple of weeks, last few weeks. So I'll say the 0-0 to hopefully get the 1-0. But Heskiff, what are you going for?
I'm going to squeeze into this draw predicting sandwich with 1-1.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, so with the, in the current bottom six, we're unbeaten this season. So if you're looking at, we've taken 4 points from Watford and Brighton. We've taken 3 from Bournemouth, only played them once. We've taken 4 from Norwich. We took 6 from West Ham. So, you know, this is, you know, for us, this has been our bread and butter this season, which is, you know, not traditionally speaking, not been what we've been good at in terms of just duffing up the terrible teams, and we beat the good teams. But this season, it's kind of been the other way around. So, I go down to every hope that we can pick up a result and get another 3 points. And I would love it to be 1-0 as well, which is, you know, a really, really great performance where Jefferson Lerma just loses his head and gets sent off. That would be the perfect end to a lovely set of 4 games that we've had. Right. We won't talk about going on the club coach. Me, Heskiff, will be on the club coach. I think we touched on that last week. So I'm back on coach 2. So anyone listening on coach 2, don't tell that really hard-looking bloke that runs the coach that I was drinking beer after the Brighton game. He doesn't need to know that, okay? We'll be back after this.
Back of the Nest, Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Well, that's it. It's finished. All the social stuff, you know it. At Back of the Nest, pretty much everywhere. At Back of the Nest CPFC on Instagram. You want to look at your YouTubes, your .coms. And WhatsApp is 020-3575-1766. Send your voice notes in for the review show on Sunday, where Hambo will be leading you through all of that event. And if you haven't listened to the one from Watford, do go back and listen. It's an excellent listen this week, as always. Patrick, what is it for you this week? Is it a stream at home or heading somewhere to watch it in town?
Coronavirus, mate. Staying home. Yeah, I don't go as much as I should to Football Factory. So, I'll be watching from home just because I'm seriously on a serious note, because I don't want to expose myself just in case, you know. So,
mate, that Football Factory, all I ever think about still is that beans on toast was the equivalent of like 15 quid. Yeah, could not believe it.
It's a little pricey. But Jack is a Palace supporter, and if you tell him that, I'll give you a free beer.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, always. Mention it.
Oh, I'll come over just for that.
There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, it's all that importing the Heinz baked beans, making it all fancier.
Exactly.
Charging $10 for a Guinness. But I mean, you really don't let this put you off going there. If you're in New York and you're there when a Palace game's on, it's definitely a good atmosphere to go and watch and meet some Palace fans that are, you know, from all over the world traveling to New York for whatever reasons, or living in New York as Patrick does. Heskiff, I'll see you on the coach on Saturday, bright and early at 10:30.
Can't wait.
We're getting a glimpse into how we'll be when we're Patrick's age. Couldn't resist the dig. Right, so we'll be back next Thursday, where we'll be building you up to the game against Liverpool, which I don't know if they can be champions anymore with the Arsenal game getting called off. I think City would have had to lose both that and against Burnley before Liverpool play, so it's unlikely now that they'll be crowned champions that week. Of course, it's on Sky, 5:30 game, and I'm not going, Heskiff. I'm missing it. Are you going?
I'm not. Can you believe Albert's going and we're not?
It is a complete shock, but it's only a bit circumstances that he's working up there at the moment on a movie that, you know, coronavirus gives a big clue away to what film he's doing. It's not 28 days later. But yeah, right, that's your lot. Patrick, thanks so much for standing in for Albert. It's been a pleasure having you.
Cheers, I really enjoyed it. Take care, guys.
Lovely stuff. And Heskiff, you'll be back next week as always. And until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.